this is Jeff Steiner from Americans in France.
And I am talking with Robin Vogel. Robin, are you there?
I'm here.
And where are you?
I'm in Lille-sur-la-Sorgue in the south of France, about 20 minutes or so outside of Avignon.
And what brought you there?
My husband's French, and he's a pastry chef, and we decided to open up a pastry shop in France.
Can you tell us a little bit about the business?
We're a boulangerie pâtisserie, which means we make bread and pastries. We have 3 employees and 2 apprentices, and then Philippe and I. We're right in the town itself, in Lille-sur-la-Sorgue, which is a town of about 20,000. We do pastries. We do bread. My husband also does chocolate. You know, for our first time, we decided we couldn't get something really big because we never did this before. I mean, my husband has worked in pastry since he's been 16, but he never owned his own business.
We sell basically bread
and pastries. I'd say more people come more for bread, you know, then we do different like quiche and sandwiches and pizza and things like that. And then the vinoiserie, the croissants and the pain au chocolat, those kinds of things. We do very original chocolate for Easter because Philippe, that's one of his specialties. So not only do we have just like the usual chickens and eggs and all that, but then he does very original creations by hand also, which will come to get. So that's a good thing. And then we have, as I mentioned, confiseries.
What is that?
Like candied things, like a calisson is something from this region, and it's like a candied melon, or fruit confit we have, which is candied fruit. It's like a delicacy here. Or Philippe will do marron glacé, which are chestnuts, sugar glaze. That's usually during Christmas time. You know, we have marzipan and pâte à menthe in French. In English, it's marzipan.
How many different types of bread do you sell?
I'd say there's about 15 different kinds of bread. It depends on the day. Like the Tuesday and the Friday are probably more quiet. For example, we have organic breads, and we might not do a certain organic bread on a certain day. But certain days we might not have all the types of bread, and then other days, like a Sunday is a huge day for us, or a Wednesday is a big day, so we might have all the different kinds of bread on that day. Lately, I guess with the weather getting better or something, we've been selling out of bread, so we've kind of been missing the mark on the numbers on the Thursday. We upped the numbers today. And we're still pretty much almost sold out by 11:30, 12, which we still need to keep going. You know, we close at 1, from 1 to 3, but then we're open till 7:30 at night. And while the afternoons are quieter, it's still good to have bread for everybody.
How many baguettes do you sell a day?
350, that's just the regular days. And then Sundays, it could go up to like 500 or 600. That's the baguette. It's quite seasonal where we are because it's quite a tourist area, and our town is quite touristy because it's the second largest place to buy antiques in Europe. I'm thinking if London counts. It's definitely the second in France after Paris. People come for that. The Sunday market is really big. It's all over the town. It's quite well known in the area. Sundays are a really, really big day for us. And then, of course, you have days where, you know, like Easter or Christmas, that's huge, too. That whole, like, week could be enormous for us, where maybe we're selling a lot more cakes than bread, or January is maybe not so big on bread, but really big on these gâteau de roi. Those are huge.
What do you make at Christmas?
I wouldn't know how to say it in English. Those bûches, the yule logs. We have a bunch of different kinds. We have a special menu. People order in advance. People line up out the door. That's just how it goes here.
What's it like running a business in France?
First of all, there's a lot of rules and regulations. For example, you're not allowed to open 7 days a week. Now, we're closed on Mondays, which is fine with us, because that's something that I can't imagine in the States them ever telling you that you can't do something like that. Running a business in France, quite bureaucratic. So people, I think, have to remember there's a lot of laws, for example, employment laws.
How long have you been open for?
We're going on our 7th year. Also, just going on about a business here is to think about the charges.
Because in America, it's a payroll tax. I think
and payroll taxes in America, I think, are maybe 17 or 19%. I'm not sure.
In France, it's like
80%.
80%, right.
Incredible. So if you hire somebody, you are paying not only their salary, but then 80% again to the government. You have to factor that in as well. And then you have something called the Régime des Sociales des Indépendants, which is a whole other thing, which is based on how much you make every year. And that also is quite enormous. So when we first got here, we were a nom pop, which means we weren't really a company. We were just, the business was in our name.
Sole proprietor.
Yeah, sole proprietor. That's how you, yeah, exactly. So that actually was good for us for the first few years because we didn't have to pay a certain kind of tax, and because we were new, there was other taxes that we didn't have to pay. But then, after the fourth and definitely the fifth year, that whole idea of being the sole proprietor was not a good idea. We should have changed earlier. There's certain things that you can't translate. It's a whole different ballgame. On the other hand, what also doesn't translate are things like free nursery school. But this idea of free nursery school was one of the reasons why we also came here. Because what I did want to mention is this book that came out called Bringing Up Bebe by Pamela Druckerman.
Tell me what you thought.
I was a little skeptical before I read the book, but I really thought she hit it completely on the mark. You know, after complaining about all the social charges and opening up the business, I have to say that France probably is a better place for my kids at this age, and they're 6 and 8 now, to grow up. When I first got here, and I remember kids coming into the store and how well-behaved they were, I remember thinking, God, they're so much more well-behaved than the American kids. And she just really put it into words. I wish I could have written this book, actually, because she just really, everything that I was thinking, she just really had it down. The idea how kids don't snack all day long. But, I mean, here I really try to follow the French way where, you know, they have breakfast and they do not eat anything until lunch. And then at 4:30, they have their snack, their goûter. And I do let them have what they want for goûter. I mean, but this idea of what she was saying and the discipline of the kids is, I don't know, did you read the book?
I haven't read the book. I was recently with my in-laws, and they have 3 kids. We were at a table, and one of the kids, I couldn't believe it, raised her hand to speak.
You mean raised her finger? They don't really raise their hand. They had like a finger up, right?
That's a cultural difference. They raised their finger. I don't know if that was typical or not, but I do think that on the French in that way that they're better in that respect. I think the problem is that they're a little bit, the teachers are much more stricter. I think that's...
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely.
That's the difference. The teachers are really strict, and I think in America, from what I remember, it's less so. I think that's the difference, and I think that...
I think also the book talks about even toddlers and how they're even listening. Because at the store, you get into a lot of conversations, and the mothers will say, yes, my baby's sleeping through the night. It's called fait la nuit. I always thought, I was like, how come these kids at like 3 months old are already like sleeping through the night? My theory was, well, these kids aren't really breastfed, because in France, they breastfed till about 3 months, and that's about it, which does drive me insane a little bit. So my theory was, well, the kids are fait leur nuit because they're not breastfed, and it's easier maybe to sleep when you're not breastfed. But apparently the book says no, that's not true either. So there was also something about why the babies are sleeping through the night called the pause. It was really quite interesting. I think when you say the teachers are stricter, I think the parents are stricter, because the parents in the States, I have to say, in general, now we're talking in general, the kid kind of runs the show. And here, the kid, that's her big thing. The kid is not running the show. The parents have a life, too, and they realize that, and they give their kids freedom, but they also, they have boundaries, and within those boundaries, there's freedom. And I thought that was very interesting. I do really recommend the book. Oh, yeah, and also talk about the amazing creche system, the new system and all that. You know, the idea of the creche, how it's daycare, but it's not fancy daycare, and how parents really want a spot in the creche. I had a Nunu. I had a babysitter, and it was fantastic because it was subsidized by the government. So my daycare wasn't costing a fortune. It wasn't costing that much at all. I mean, I was putting the money out, and I was getting reimbursed for most of it. It was, I don't know. I think the law has changed now. I don't think they reimburse you for as much anymore. But at the time, I was being reimbursed for 2 kids to have the babysitter, the new, as they call it. That system is something that's quite amazing. Now, if you fit into the system as far as school goes, and you were talking about having this strict teachers and stuff, if your child fits into that system, it's a wonderful system, I think. It's a little strict. There's a little bit too much memorizing for my taste, of course. But if your kid doesn't fit into the system, I think it's very difficult, especially in a small town like Île-sur-Orb. I think if your child's autistic, the French are, from what I can see, quite behind in this. And a lot of the stuff that they're doing, or the new stuff that they're trying maybe in autism, is coming from the States. It's not coming from within the country. If they're doing anything, it's some of the studies that have been done in the States. So, and also, I think they're very late. If your child has a problem, they don't seem to want to deal with it until the kid is like 3 or 4 years old. So there's certain things. I think if you have a special needs kid, you have to kind of be careful a little bit. You know, if your kid has dyslexia, for example.